Hello and welcome to the Indie Film Review. My name is Jared, and with me is Dan. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Jared.
And with us also is our very special guest, Paul. Hello, Paul.
Hello. Yay, I'm here.
It's Paul. Yay!
Welcome me.
Paul, for everyone and no one, please tell us, who are you?
I'm Paul. Hi.
More information. Yes, we know that. So give us more. We need
I'm
to know more than
you.
That.
I am Paul Parnell. I run the Necropodicon network. I was about to say Discord, but I do more than that. I run the Discord.
I have a Discord. Hi.
But yeah, no. So I run the Necropodicon podcast network, which we are all on.
Hell yeah.
And I think that's pretty much my only claim to fame. I do several shows on that, and we are releasing another two, and I will be starting recording another one. This month. So I will be doing about, I think, 5 podcasts a week.
And you have the time to grace us.
So you don't have a job. The best.
No, I do have a job, and what I don't have is sleep. Let me tell you, people, sleep is important. You should
it is important.
You should do that.
You should. Everybody, stop listening and sleep. Actually, keep this podcast going and just go to sleep.
To the
yeah, you don't need to listen to anything we're about
voice.
To say at all.
So, guys, okay, I want to do something a little different. I don't want to like surprise or confuse anybody, but you know, I've been thinking about the show and just like you know, keep just doing the same old thing. So, I think today to change things up. Oh. We're going to review an independent film.
Oh,
what do you
say?
Are you guys up for that?
I prepared all my notes on Stargate. Now you want me to? What movie is it? I'm just really hoping I've seen it.
So today we are going to review I Lost My Body.
Oh, holy shit! You would not believe this. I watched that last night. Fucking
nice.
Oh my god!
What a kawinky dink.
We'll have to table your Stargate notes for now,
though. Ah, yes.
Listen, Colonel Jack O'Neill. No, I'm sorry. I'm not actually going to talk about Stargate.
if we ever get a Patreon, that'll be our Patreon.
I'll talk about Stargate for hours, man. You don't even know.
Oh,
I love that show. Anyway.
So before we get into the film, Dan, I would like you to...
No, my name is Paul.
All right, fine, Paul.
Oh.
I would like you to give us a 30-second elevator pitch of what this movie is. So we're two executives, right? You're trying to impress us with this film.
I walk in. That's the door. Okay. You guys are sitting down. Hey, how's it going, guys? Listen, I know you guys are really busy. You don't have much time. Let's do this. All right, so I've been thinking. We have a lot of movies that are set in America, right? What if France, okay? Paris. However, we don't do it romantically. No romantics about French or the French people, because that shit's bullshit. If you've ever been there, it's not that romantic. Now, all right, there's this kid, Nafel, I think is his name.
That's right.
I'm giving the pitch.
Oh, wait. I wouldn't know because you're pitching it to me.
You're like, yeah.
Wait a minute.
That's good. That
Do we
works.
Have an insider here? What's going on?
All right. Yeah. Now, Fel. Anyway, he's this kid. He's in the roughs of it. You know, he's not living his best life. But he's delivering this pizza one day. He gets fucked with by this girl. She messes with him. I'm not really sure why. I think she's just a dick.
I'm starting to look at my iPhone. I'm starting to play on Candy Crush.
But the story also, we flash back and forth between a dismembered hand, which is making its way through Paris on a journey of rooftops and subway tunnels and through the streets. And
all right.
We don't know where
he's
going.
Paul.
Oh, okay.
Can we give the hand tits?
Yes. Yeah.
I was thinking about this, but where would we place them is the real thing. What I'm thinking. Wait. Let me get this out there. What if instead of a middle finger, giant penis? How about that? How about that?
Can that giant penis smoke an e-cigarette?
It definitely can.
All right. Okay. Shake hands. Business complete.
I have one more. But one thing that I need. Listen, I said to my wife. Listen,
what else do we need to know? Wait, all right. Okay. Let him keep talking. He's the artist. He's the artist. Let him go.
I said to my wife, if they're gonna let me have the giant penis bit, they need to let me have a special power. A special power is that when he needs to fight, he thinks about something that really gets him off, and he just starts hitting people because he gets really hard, and then he just starts ramming people. Okay.
Everybody, go
listen to the Necropodicon Network. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Well, that was more of a 5-minute elevator pitch, but sure. All right, we're in.
So, okay.
To cut away from the silliness that we have here and actually tell you what the plot is.
Let's do this.
It's, in general, a love story, kind of, between some dude who's, like, creepily obsessed with this girl.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't think it's very love story. It's more like soccer-ish.
It's a one-sided love story. And then also, it is. And then also, he, through happenstance, gets his hand cut off. And there's this crazy journey of the hand is like trying to get back to its owner. Yes.
And can see things, which is just weird.
And we get a POV of a hand eyeball, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. And this is all animated, by the way.
Oh, well, no shit.
What's that?
And there's voice acting.
Fuck you, guys. No one knows it's animated, all right? They're probably thinking this is all live action. People gotta know this.
That is a good point. It is animated, and it's beautifully animated, honestly.
Unbelievable.
It is a beautiful film. I feel like one of the things that drew me into this film was how whimsical it is.
Oh, whimsy.
Like, whimsy. It's a fantasy adventure that is kind of disguised as this strange stalker story.
It's a depressing fantasy adventure.
Yes.
I think I have a different take on the stalkeriness. Listen, I feel like my views on stalking aren't really heavily represented in society. Listen, stalking's fine. No, it doesn't hurt anybody. But so...
Yes.
Victimless crime, exactly. I mean, until they rebuff me. Anyway, no. So the movie, to me, and I think intentionally, but I want to bring up, hits on these points of determinism and breaking out of a deterministic mindset and worldview. Did either of you get that? Am I...
A little bit. I feel...
Well, all right, so there's this fly, right? At the start of the movie, we see Naufel? I don't know how to say his name.
Naufel.
We see boy number one, and he is...
New pretend. Pretend.
I like Naufel.
Naufel.
So he's asking his daddy-o. He's like, daddy-o, how do I catch this fly? And daddy-o, and so the fly, by the way, represents fate. And he's like, oh, you have to get it from the side unexpectedly. You have to juke it and all of this. And this goes into as Naufel is growing up in the movie, he starts to toy with the ideas, and his prey of choice, the girl he stalks, he's explaining to her. Do you believe in
his
fate?
Hunt.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. He's like, do you believe in fate? And he's like, well, I think that you have to do something unexpected to trick fate, and jump out of, do something crazy, blah, 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 blah.
So is that chasing fate, or is that trying to defeat fate?
Well, see, I mean, you think about this logically, I don't think it holds water, but his concept is that that's how you beat fate. That's how you create an original path, is by doing something crazy. And so the fly and the hand actually meet at the start of the movie. And the fly constantly comes up through the movie. And for me, I'm pretty sure the fly is fate. The fly is trying to get the hand back to the body. Now, the hand, we see a lot of it, he the hand is having memories of all the ways that the hand was used in live play.
There are hand memories in this movie, and well, I love it. I love the hand memories.
And that and that is muscle memory of what was. The fly is what his, and then also Nafel is using is recording. He's got a little tape recorder, and he's recording everything. And the recording is actually what ends up causing some, you know, some major events in his life.
Yes.
And so the recording is what is. And later on in the movie, I'm not going to spoil it just yet, but that comes into play later on. What he does with the recording and so on and so forth. And so for me, I'm pretty sure this movie is about, determinism. It's about him struggling to live in what was, and then trying to discover what could be instead.
I definitely see that because he's going down a path in his life, and he feels like, because he's very depressed in this movie.
Oh yes.
And he's like, this path that I'm on, he was on another path before some events happened, really bad stuff, and it seems like it's changed his course to where, like, he wants to be a pianist and an astronaut, and that's not panning out later on
in
his life.
He wants to be a what? Excuse me?
Oh, boy. Oh, not this boy. Old chestnut. Yeah, a piano man.
You know what? It's funny, though, because, and while I know that this is a serious movie and really well done, the tone is great, the art is beautiful, the score, I need to get onto that, but when he says, I want to be a pianist, I've seen the movie twice now, every single time I hear him say, I want to be a pianist, and I just, I know it's not that, but my mind is like,
oh yes, we watched a short an episode or so ago that was all about pianists, and we were little babies giggling about it for just forever. It was,
yep.
What can you do? What can you do? Don't name your thing.
I hear all of those comments about it being, you know, how you can escape fate or how you can circumvent it, but to me, there's something else. There's more to it, and there's two things that I think of. And Paul, you already brought one up, which is, the recording device that he always has on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's something to be said here about just mediated information and how we cling to this. Mm-hmm. Like he's from a very young age is recording things. He's fascinated by that, and there's just something in that fact that really makes me feel like there's a kind of media commentary on it. But then also this, I can't figure out the hand. Like, I don't know why. What is the hand?
So
if, cause you mentioned the fly is fate. What would the hand be?
So the hand is the result of fate. That's why I don't know if this is too...
Okay, that would make sense.
Do you get what I'm saying? I don't know if that's... Yeah. And so the hand is making its journey, trying to fulfill fate. Whereas Nafel is starting to take the actions to circumvent, or as some might say, circumcise fate. I'm sorry, penis jokes. I apologize, guys.
I don't get it. Well, also, the recording device is him living in the past.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, he can't move on with his life until he lets go of a lot of things.
Exactly.
He kind of does that eventually in different ways. But before we get into a lot more of this film, I wanted to do some questions with you guys.
Oh, I like questions.
Just so this can be anything related to the movie. It doesn't even necessarily have to be about the film, but, so
can
I guess I'll bring this up to you.
Or do you go?
Oh, yeah, if you want to go first.
Can I go first?
Are you sure you want me to go first?
Can I go first?
I mean, I don't want you to go first, right, but you said you something, first. So can I'm trying to be a good host, and,
I want to go first and fourth.
All right. Well, if nobody's going to go, I'm just going to bring out what we're all thinking, the white elephant in the room.
Dan, there were no white elephants in this film.
Well, I'm saying just the elephant in the room. We have to talk
about it. Dan, you're stupid. There's no elephants in the room. Look around and use your fucking eyes.
Hey, elephant in the room is supposed to be a turn of phrase that is referencing that we are all thinking the same thing. So here we go.
I've never thought about an elephant in my room, but anyway.
Buddy, oh if you God. Ever turn my phrase in front of company again.
motherfuckers.
I'll slap your little pee-pee right off.
Well, all speaking right, of slapping pee-pees right off, that's what I'm getting at. If you would just let me speak.
Wait, why speak wasn't, when I hear this.
Why wasn't there a scene in which the disembodied hand gives him a stranger?
Oh boy. Well, that's like the whole clone scenario where, like, would you let your clone jerk you off? Because it's you doing it. Well,
exactly. So I just wanted to see it once.
There's the scene Jesus. with the bird on the rooftop, right? At the very
start. Oh my God.
There's your scene. There's your stranger.
That just, scene is. Super I was not expecting that scene enough. At all.
And, you're good. You're good. The sounds even sound like what I sound like. But no,
just we've already brought it up, but like I was not expecting that scene. So basically, the hand is on a roof and trying to, you know, get off of the roof, and
just trying to
a bird starts
Creed.
Pecking at him.
Yeah,
and then he falls off of the roof, and then he grabs what is next to him in the moment, and it's that bird's neck.
So fucking
the
dumb.
Bird, like, he
what an
drags the bird
scene.
I know, it's fucking crazy. He drags the bird to the end of the gutter, and then as soon as the bird hits the end of the gutter, the neck breaks, and then it's just he falls with the bird. I'm like, that I was not expecting this in an animated film. It blew
some
my
the,
fucking mind.
Some of the action in this film,
oh
is
God.
So good.
Listen, I don't know if it's spoilery, so I won't say it all, but the rats, holy shit.
The rat scene was fantastic.
I had some horror moments right there. I was like,
don't worry. We're going to get into like a lot of, we're going to just start talking about individual scenes we like a lot more. But first, let me ask this question. Okay. So, the music, Paul, you were saying, what did you like about the music?
So the Let's music was incredibly similar and almost maybe a techno edit of, or synth edit more of, the Heavy Rain soundtrack. I don't know if you've played.
It was
incredibly similar, and it gave me those same vibes. And then also I was realizing, in Heavy Rain you cut off your own hand, and I was like, but I'm pretty sure that's a coincidence. But either way, it gave me such Heavy Rain feeling, which such Heavy Rain feeling, that's a sentence I said. And so
such Heavy Rain feeling,
but like much darkness, but no, it gave me
much
that
darkness.
It gave me that feeling. And that's such a somber, dark, almost dulcet, world. It's this comforting, but sad at the same time thing. And I mean, and it worked perfectly because that's what the whole fucking thing is. He straight up murders a bird. The soundtrack just made me feel inspired, but also really sad.
I'm gonna agree with you. Like, the soundtrack is one of the things I was gonna bring up as well. It just, something about it, it added to the whimsy that I'm talking about, but it also, like you brought, it's very poignant. It has these moments where it's drawing you into this feeling of depression almost. It's like the score was well composed. I will say,
It's kind of crazy how depressing this movie is, but yes. I was so engaged by
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
I don't think I felt so engaged by a film in a while.
Exactly.
Like, I was like fucking locked in. I was like, for
me, this was
so good.
This was kind of like on the edge of your seat type thing. Cause like, I'm not really a big person in terms of action. Like, it's going to have you on the edge of your seat.
Oh, Dan,
like,
you're a big person.
I don't say that lightly, basically, is what I'm trying to say. I never say it has me on the edge of my seat. And I was literally propped up, fully engaged in the film. My posture was fucking at 100%.
You paid for all of your seat, but you were only using 10% of it. You were right
exactly.
on the edge. Yeah.
Yes.
Just the tip.
And because my seat was my couch... Yep. I don't know what that means, but...
And your couch is your weapon. There are many like it, but this one is mine. Okay, so Paul, do you have any questions for us?
So, the one thing that I love about animated films is that they take away a lot of... They take away and add a lot of nuances for facial expression, What did you guys think of the sort of the representation of people in this? Because not only did we have people, we had animals, we had disembodied dismembered body parts. The people, though, they sort of felt different but special to me. I'm just wondering what you guys are thinking about that.
Well, the animation in this, I don't want to say it's janky. It's like missing frames, and it's done on purpose.
It's stylized.
So it's not a smooth... Yes, it's very stylized. So just that whole feeling of the animation also makes you feel like uneasy or this is strange. So
it even adds to the
movie. And even like the faces and how they kind of like warp. Everything's kind of like liquidy in how like the characters move. So, I mean, everything made me feel uneasier. But like the more I saw that, the more I was engaged in what was happening, because like interactions with the main character and his stepbrother were always so tense just because of how like snake-like he would move
and his weird
expressions and stuff. And I love the animation. I thought it was great.
Oh, it was great.
It did not take away from the film. I actually think it enhanced it.
Oh, definitely. I just want to point out, I didn't even really think about, you know, those. I was watching it, because again, I was watching it last night, and I had it on my, I HDMI'd it to my TV, and I was like, is my TV missing frames? And I was looking at my computer, I was like, no.
Yeah.
I was like, no, that's actually just the style. I didn't really put together why that was, but yeah, you point, as you say, it gives you that uneasy feeling. And that's...
Yeah, yeah. I really think so.
And I also like how the hand had its own kind of stylization to it, where it had the mole.
They drew a mole
on it. And that kind of attention to detail, it is impressive to me. And I feel like the faces, like you guys brought up, the faces... this film is animated like nothing I've ever seen before. It's a completely new style of animation. I was kind of very appreciative of it.
Well, what I've never seen in a film before is... the faces aren't important. It's really about everyone's hands.
Yeah.
Every shot is framed to see people's hands.
And I mean, and we get that when we are introduced to a blind character who, you know, and the hand is sort of interacting with this character. But again, it's focusing on the blind man's hands because that's what's important here. It's super unique.
And like the movie trained me to just only look at the character's hands.
You know what's interesting? Well,
like almost in every scene, I was looking at their hands and not their faces.
I am a legitimately autistic individual, and I don't look at people's faces in general. That's not a thing, you know, because the facial expressions and stuff like that. Like I pay attention to somebody's stance, their personality, what they're saying, and what's behind their words, as opposed to, you know, what they're trying to convey. And that can make people think I'm being a dick, or some people, you know, it's a fact of being autistic for a lot of autistic individuals. But, and so I think that gave me an extra weirdness with this movie, because I wasn't supposed to be looking at the faces. And so, like, I think maybe I received more information in this movie than I do in a lot of other movies, simply because the faces weren't important. I wasn't having to try extra hard to understand what was trying to be conveyed in the face. And that's an interesting thing.
That kind of brings me back to one of my initial points. It's like there's something about hands, and I can't quite figure it out. Like this director has this
about hands.
He has this predisposition with hands. It's almost like he has hands. funny joke.
Oh, the hand of fate.
I took from you.
The hand of fate.
Hand of fate. Oh, I mean, the guiding hand. You do everything with your hands.
Well,
My argument is
I you're right.
It's
my argument is hands, like you said, are very
the
practical
feats of
things.
Fate.
They are what we create things with. Without our hands, we would have nothing.
I don't mean to interrupt you again. I do that a lot. But, you know, you're talking about... It's fine, I don't follow.
Dan, who is this guy interrupting us? I mean, what's going on? We're trying to do a podcast.
we get this interesting... When Naufel applies to be the apprentice, and the carpenter is explaining to him what tools do, what the material does, and, you know, and how we act on things, how we change things, exactly. how we shape things.
Yeah, the way he was teaching him was strange. Because, he, like, wasn't showing him. He was, like, yeah. like you were saying, explaining what, like, their function is.
Like, well, not even their function of specific tools. He was just like, this is the definition of a tool. And you know, and this is what a material is. And, you know, and it's interesting because just as Dan was bringing up, like, the, you know, using our hands to shape things, I feel like potentially that's what the carpenter was sort of about, per se, is that, you know, he was talking about how we mold the materials around us and all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I can totally see that. Okay, so now we're going to get into spoilers.
Okay.
Spoilers, spoilers, spoilers. If you want to watch this movie, please watch it. I think we all recommend it, right?
Yeah, definitely.
I do.
I highly recommend
Unless you are severely depressed, maybe go watch something happy.
If you've maybe recently lost a hand, I don't know.
Or a bird.
Just hug your wife or something. Yeah. yeah.
or your parents. Oops.
Oh, no. Or if your parents...
Or if you got rejected by the girl you were stalking. Oops.
What if you got rejected by your own hand who is somehow your parents?
Oh, my God. All
right.
Hand parents. I want my parents' hands.
Grandparents.
Okay, so going back to the idea of because we can spoil things now, the idea of trying to circumvent fate, and the only way to do that is to get ahead of fate or take
get
it by
hand.
Surprise.
Get
oh, yeah. so at the very end, the lesson should be then. You should not do that because he's trying to catch the fly and he saws his hand off because he's trying to circumvent fate.
That's right.
So there's,
but then he, well, the, but then at the end he jumps.
Okay,
so right?
the thing is, I think in trying to, you know, the dad at the start of the movie, rest in peace, dad. He says,
his parents died, by the way, he says it doesn't
always work. It's difficult, but you have to keep trying.
Oh,
he fucked up trying to catch that fly, but that didn't let him, and that didn't, now he only has one hand, but he still jumps to that fucking crane. Like, you know, and I think that's the idea, is that he kept trying to circumvent fate. Little does he know it was his fate to do that, but you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he still could be stuck on the path of fate. So when he's explaining it to his this girl that he's been stalking, he's tricked her into like hanging out with him, and she like doesn't realize that.
And he built her an igloo, and then she's like, "What? Do you want to fuck the girl in the igloo?" And I was like, "That's a great line."
We're like, "Well, yes."
I mean,
why else did I build this fuck igloo? I mean, what else are you doing an igloo? Come on!
It literally says on the side,
Let's
"Fuck igloo." I thought of calling it a figloo, but then I wouldn't make sense.
Oh.
Anyway,
and I had to get figs, and it's like, "Where you get figs this time of year?" And it's like, "Oh, it's such an asshole." Can you just give me a hand job? Come on.
Beans. Listen, I'm missing a hand.
Beans.
Wait, he's not missing a hand yet, is he? Well, so one thing that I want to quickly say, one thing that confused me even the second time watching it is trying to line up the timelines, because when we're watching the hand, that's actually in the future. When we're watching, we think we're flashing between these two things.
Yes,
we're not.
It's like The Witcher.
Haven't seen it. Spoiler.
That's not a spoiler. Go ahead.
But one thing I wanted to say, now that we're in spoiler territory, is so he has the recording device, and at the very end, the girl that he stalked, who I think realizes she's in love with him, or maybe is just happy for him, I don't fucking know. She forgives him for being a stalker anyway, and which is hope for me. No, but I'm married, by the way. But anyway.
Stalks his own wife.
It's a one-sided marriage. Listen.
She doesn't know I'm married.
She doesn't know she's married.
Go, you go out.
But anyway, so, you know, he's... she goes to the roof where the fig glue was, and she's trying to, you know, pass out. What's happening? And she comes across his recording device, and she plays it.
Yeah.
And then it turns out, like, she can hear what happened. She's like a fucking, CSI cop putting together everything that happened. She's looking around, and again, it kind of felt like Heavy Rain. I don't know if you played that as the detective. It felt like she was doing that. But anyway, so she...
Jason,
but it turns out he so but he, so he
Jason!
So he put shut up I am the guest, damn it. So he put it down anyway on that side of the roof, that side of the gap. His zigging away from the from fate. The recorder was what was. He could record what was, but he is no longer focusing on what was. He put it down. He's now focusing on what could be, and that's why he jumped across, leaving what was behind on the building. She was what was, which is really sad, because it feels like it's almost saying that, like, he became the bigger man and moved on when she couldn't, when he's the one who stalked her with a fig glue, and... So yeah, anyway, that's
my man. Well, yeah, it's like he was living in the past.
Yeah.
Like I was saying before, and now he's jumping to maybe not the future, but living in the present. He's going his own path now.
Exactly.
With one less hand. Why couldn't he just go to the hospital and get that hand attached? Like, what was going on there? Why did they keep his fucking hand? Well, anywho, no, I don't know. Didn't you think that was weird?
Yeah, I mean, so I do want to point out at the start of the movie, you know, the hand. First of all, I liked the series of, you know, the hand hitting the door to break out of the thing, because it's got like the intro credits up and they flash away every time it hits the door. I thought that was quite a punchy version to do that. Hey, punchy. Anyway, it really slapped. Anyway, but then
things you do with your hand.
It really jacked me off.
Guys, we're not that kind of show. Hey, we're gonna cut that out. Okay, and just go, take it from the top. And 3, 2, 1.
He really jacked. Oh, shit.
He really sucked my dick somehow. Big fat hand lips.
No, but anyway, so the eye falls out. Now, I thought, oh, what a funny joke. Anywho, words that sound like other words. So I thought that the eye and the hand were like, you know, in cahoots with each other, and that the eye was like gonna be his, how he could see. I thought, because, you know,
that would be cool.
And yeah. we spent the whole time in that starting scene with the eye sort of looking back at him, and I thought that's how he was seeing things, because it doesn't really make much fucking sense for a hand to be seeing things. But
it would have been like Agra from the Dark Crystal or something.
Exactly,
shit,
or that creature
Adam's Family stuff
from Real Monsters, if you guys remember that show.
Oh yeah. Yes, yeah. Real Monsters. Hell yeah,
that guy with the wait, is it called Unreal Monsters?
Real Monsters. Like they're yelling.
Oh, okay.
Ah.
Anyway, yeah, but then literally within that scene, that eye gets crushed because the janitor steps on it. And
That entire sequence, as soon as I saw that whole sequence of him escaping the lab or wherever, the hospital, wherever he was, I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah. And
can they keep this pace up? And they do. Wonderful.
Let's bring it back to the next thing that they kept the pace up with. Well, the whole time you're on the journey with this hand, but to me, this film, and Paul, you kind of brought it up earlier, it invented this new subgenre of horror. Like, it's body horror, but it's hand horror. Like, that whole scene with the rats, you're like, you can feel fucking hand getting bit by
rats.
Let's
talk about that. Oh, yes, let's talk about the rats first. Yes. So, one thing that I love, so it reminded me so very much of, like, I Am Legend. So the hand is escaping. After he mercilessly murders that poor bird,
Jesus.
Like, it's just, it's so dark. Anyway, he falls into a trash can, like a big dumpster. And then I guess he passes out. somehow.
Because that's what hands do.
Yeah. Well, one thing I noticed, because I looked a couple of times, but they didn't do any detail on the nub of the hand. And I thought that was an interesting choice, because it was to re-personify the hand. Because if we see that it's a dismembered hand and we see like the gore of that, then we keep bringing back, you know, in our mind, we're like, oh, this is just a hand that's been cut off.
Yeah, that is true.
But they just had this like pink there, and that sort of brings you to, oh, it's its own entity. So it falls into the dumpster anyway, and with the bird falling on top of it, I think.
Yeah, Jesus. And, it was like, okay.
Because then when we come back to that, when we finally come back to what the hand is up to, it's just this like on the screen, and it's like the dead bird staring at the screen. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Take it away. But, you know, and then he gets in this little can and he becomes a hermit crab for a while.
That was so good. And yeah. The drunk guy going up the stairs. Yeah. And he's like, fuck it. This guy can see me because he knows he's drunk.
Exactly.
Yeah. Of course, hands know when you're drunk.
The kid driving in the back seat of the car driving by is just staring at it. Like that kid is traumatized for life.
Oh my gosh.
Could you imagine seeing that? That'd be the worst fucking nightmares you will ever have.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
That would be terrifying, but
you'd probably block that out as a little kid, though. I don't even know if that would like register in your brain.
Hey, oh, man. I saw a hand as a little kid. Don't tell me what I block out.
the drunk man coming up the subway stairs, and he's like, ah, fuck it. This guy's drunk. He doesn't know shit. So he just sort of runs by with his little. Does he have his can on him still? Yes, he does. And then he's going down the wrong escalator. I don't know what that's about. Why is
he dumb? Hands are dumb. Oh, wait, no, was it the drunk guy? I forget which one.
The hand is going down the wrong side. You know, he's trying to run down the up escalator.
He dumb.
Is that... yeah, okay. I was wondering if that was some kind of commentary on fate. I don't think so. It's just that he's dumb.
Oh, no, because you were saying that he's abiding by fate.
Well, I think he is... So before this, he lands on the ground and... As he's going through a park at some point with some children's, mm-hmm. What do you call them? Installments? I don't know what the fuck they're called. Like those things on those animals on the springs that you like ride.
Oh,
on.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're called.
What if the hand
Jungle Gym
is going against fate?
Well,
like what if the fly is trying to stop the hand from getting to the body?
I don't know if it is because the fly goes and fucks with Nowful, not the hand. He meets with the fly. The hand and the fly meet at that overturned toy car.
Answer me these questions.
So then, who? This is going to sound insane if you haven't seen the movie. But who is the astronaut? Yeah, there's an astronaut man in this.
I think the astronaut was sort of like I don't know. Like it was. The new
his dreams, right, and aspirations.
Yeah, well, but I think it was like a shining of, I guess shining kind of works. It was kind of like an image, a projection of what could be, potentially, because it keeps watching the hand, almost woefully as the hand tries to get fly across using an umbrella, get across the fucking highway.
Oh, that scene was so good.
Yeah,
man, there's so many good scenes in this movie.
And so it feels like the astronaut is like this paling image. That might become true. It might be a thing. You know,
like if you get back to your body and reattach the hand, then you could be an astronaut. You could be a piano man. You could be whatever you want to be. That's not suggestive when you say it. And all your dreams are going to come true. And that girl's going to love you.
Well,
and
so life's going to work out. I disagree in that I was saying, I think it's that the astronaut is like a warning image to the hand, like this is what he could be without you. Like if you listen to fate, then fate will take this away from him. And so that's why he flies past the astronaut and keeps going. We don't see the astronaut again because the hand is trying, despite the astronaut's warning. I don't know if I'm reading into it too much. That's what it feels like to me. Because then that astronaut like looks like its head turns. And
he does salute him though.
And yeah. I was
like, you know, like Godspeed and keep going.
And I was like, what the fuck is that astronaut alive? I don't understand. Like,
I think he's a figment of the hand's imagination, which is insane that I even said it.
But so getting back to the rats real quickly.
Yeah.
So
the rats. Jesus Christ.
So you know, he falls under this train and he's lucky to not be hit, that his tin can gets hit away. He's no longer a hermit crab.
Yeah.
And then this rat is cutely coming up to him, and the hand puts out his finger because he has blood on it, and the rat is like cutely licking it, and then it just turns into a demon basically, and like drags him into under the lip of the platform. And it's so dark that it's like dragging him under. Because I've seen that kind of action in movies, and it rarely ever ends well for anybody. But like, and then the hand grabs a lighter and he lights it up. And
it's so classic. It's like a classic movie moment where the hero has fire and he's like keeping back the zombies and the monsters.
Yeah.
But it's with a hand and rats. And I just like, I love it. Keep going. I love it.
The way that the hand escapes is beautiful. He runs under the, or crawls, I guess, under the train, and then grabs onto a wire under the train and is just whisked away.
Dude, it was gangster.
I fucking love it.
007 shit. Also, I want to say, the mistreatment of rats really offended me during this film because I had recently watched Ratatouille, and I've come to realize that they are just like us and they just want to make really nice food.
So what we should be doing is destroying hands instead.
Yes, hands are the enemy.
Dan, you stop.
I realize this now. Ratatouille was right. That's all. Hashtag Ratatouille was right.
But
okay, so let's do our closing thoughts on this film.
Wait, can I?
What's up?
I want to bring up one small thing. The ants creep me the fuck out.
Oh, God. We can talk about that.
So scene. I don't know where it happened. I don't remember where the ants were. I think he's cold. He's in the ditch somewhere. And then he wakes up because he slept, apparently.
He's like hobo sleeping.
Yeah. And then like...
This is a hand still, by the way.
Yeah. the ant is... There's this ant crawling along him. And then like it tries to take a bite at his mole. And that whole bit just creeps me the fuck out. Like there's just such a surreal panic in the hand as it has, and then it realizes it has like hundreds of ants on it, and they're trying to eat it. And
well, that surreal panic is constant threat. Beautiful, like the hand like shocks itself awake, and it realizes it's covered in like hundreds of ants. Like I said, it's body horror, but it's just only your hand, and you can everything that you would not want to happen to your hand happens to your hand in this movie. It's ridiculous.
Even touching a baby, gross.
There is nothing, right? Yeah, right. Disgusting. There's nothing.
He touches a baby.
Touches a baby. There's nothing in this movie where you would want your hand to be doing. So that's a thing. Playing a piano?
Wait, what?
What the fuck is that about? I'm sorry, let's get to closing thoughts.
Guys, keep your hands to yourself. That's all we're saying. All right? PSA. This is what this episode is really about. Okay, Dan.
Yes.
What are your closing thoughts on this film?
It was a beautiful dark fantasy. The romance angle did not necessarily work for me. I was kind of upset that was the only romance that we got. It's this mismatched romance, and he's more of a stalker than a romantic type.
Isn't that how romance is supposed to be? I'm confused.
Yeah. It's more realistic.
Well, I guess I don't know. Like, their relationship is the only thing that confuses me in the movie. You know, they built up this rule that, you know, hands are sentient and they come to life, but I don't know. It's just his motives for everything whenever he meets that girl
getting some
just kind of make me cringe a bit.
Yeah.
Well, that's why he fails. I think that's why he
fails. Well, I don't think he does fail, though.
I don't know.
It teaches him the lesson of success, but
Wheel of morality. Turn, turn, turn. Tell us the lessons that we should learn. Okay, Paul, how did you feel about the film?
This film, well, so just in general, I liked it. I have a taste for the dark, the somber and, you know, creepy. So, you know, that's kind of a, that's kind of my jam. I did like, however, contrary to Dan, I did like, the sort of the asymmetrical romance in this. It, because with France, with Paris, we always get such a whimsical, love story of, by the way, there's a bird in my background that's just deciding to scream. I don't know if it's coming through.
Does that bird have a hand wrapped around its neck?
Because if not, it will soon. But so with French movies and especially set in Paris, a lot of the time, most of the time, we get this bullshit romance that is so pie in the sky bullshit. And you know, and it's always the story of, oh, and I saw her in the bookshop, and she reached for the same book, and I said, ah, and she said, no, you have it, and I said, no, you have it, you are so beautiful, you know, but with this, it was more of a, oh, and I tried to deliver a book, a pizza to you, and I fucked it up, and then I say, your voice is so beautiful, I said, stalk you, and you know, and I liked that. I liked the asymmetrical romance. I also liked that it didn't really turn out happy. He,
yeah,
you know,
I like that too.
She,
it's up to your interpretation.
She,
of
well, I mean, so it wasn't a happy romantic ending because she was like, "We ain't getting down in your fig glue." And then
that's right.
And then he got so upset, and then he, you know, decided to just do something crazy. And then he's not there anymore. So where the fuck is he? How did he get down? He has one hand.
Exactly. This movie is fucking weird.
So I liked it.
What happened to it?
I give it 4 out of 5 fingers. Wait, that doesn't work because the thumb is on a finger. Shit.
No, you gave it a perfect score.
I give it 3 fingers and a thumb. And there you go.
I want everyone to know whenever I review, I'm always giving at least one thumb, but I won't tell you where. So I loved this movie. I think this movie is fantastic. It really blew me away. I was so just spellbound by the film. I love the macabre. I love sad movies. And I don't think everything has to have a happy ending because I feel like stuff like that resonates with me more. Because I'm a sad and depressed person, but I love, you know, happy songs that have sad lyrics. That's just the type of person I am. And
like that, I hate Monday.
I mean,
song.
I would have. Yeah. I mean, I love Depeche Mode, and I mean, I would have been fine with them having a happy ending, I guess. But I think the way he went about chasing this woman was just the wrong way, and I think he realized that throughout the film, like, oh, I fucked up, this is not how you're supposed to go about this. But he's so like socially awkward in that way, he feels he's broken, so he doesn't feel like his love can be given to another person. And maybe he's starting to realize, like, oh, maybe I'm good enough, maybe I can move forward and move on with my life even though I have all this baggage of like my parents dying and everything else. So that, like, even him getting his hand cut off is like, that's just, I can just keep moving on. Like, I don't have to dwell on that.
Yeah, he really doesn't seem to give much of a shit about it.
Yeah, because I think he could have easily gotten his hand reattached, and he was just like, nope, I'm moving on. I'm not that person anymore.
Well, what was with the scene where his hand got to him?
Well, that was the hand trying to be the result of fate, but he had already, at that moment, that was the moment where he had officially zigged. I keep saying zigged, and
exactly.
By me zigged when the world zags. And
he
had officially, that was at that point, and then the hand was like, oh, we're different paths now.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
I want to see a sequel to this where the hand just living it up in New York. Like, I just want to see that.
Does he get to finger bang the woman that he was talking?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
No, the hand falls in love with another pigeon. He learns to love them.
Oh my god, the pigeon's the pigeon's wife. And
oh, dude.
Because pigeons get married in my world.
And then he uses that hand dick that you were talking about before.
pigeon cucking. Oh boy, I think we're done. Well, Paul, I really appreciate you coming on the show. This has been so much fun.
I have had a lot of fun, and I really appreciate being brought on the show. Listen, fans of Indie Film Review, if you want more Paul goodness, just petition these guys, and I'll just do the show. That's
do the show.
This will be my sixth show. Yep. Sorry, keep going.
Talk about your other podcast that you do, and
oh god, all right, let's...
Or whatever you want to talk about.
All right, well, I'd like to get back to the pigeon cucking, honestly.
Oh god damn it! I'm in it promoting.
So, let's see. I do On the Shoulder. On the Shoulder is a 5th edition D&D underwater campaign DM'd by my wife. I play a... We watched that like several times recently. Anyway, but my wife DMs it. It's very good. It's very funny. It's very dark and not safe for work. So check that out. I am currently in the process. We've been recording for about 9 months a show called Sons of the Fathers, a highly produced 7e Call of Cthulhu horror game. It's horror, sci-fi, and a little bit of fantasy. And so that's going to be great. We have our own audio tech. We have sound effects. We have voice actors. So on. It's very good. I also am doing... I won't say the name yet, so nobody steals it. But me and Erica from the Grow Out of It podcast, which is also on the network, doing a book club podcast where we review books and alcohol. There's that. What else? There's
so many spinning plates.
Chili Flake Lollipops, where we talk about different cultures. There's an American, a Mexican, an Australian. Hey yo, and we talk about life stories and things. I know I'm forgetting something. There's something I've got to be forgetting, but basically, just go to necropodicon.com. Click the link to come to the Discord. You can see pictures of all our lovely faces. Read our bios. Find our shows. All of that shit. Yeah, good stuff.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it. Do it.
Do it.
Do it. Okay. Man, just so many plates. I don't know how you do it, but Godspeed to you,
without
sir.
Sleep.
Way too many things. I can barely do one podcast and eat and remember to eat. You know, it's just like it's rough.
Oh shit.
So
eating.
Okay.
Yep.
Sustaining life. So Facebook, Indie Film Review, if you want to find us on Facebook. We're on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. If you'd like to email us at the Gmail, it is theindiefilmreview@gmail.com.
And we're also on Instagram, Indie Film Review Pod. And Paul already said all the stuff about the Necropodicon Network, so I'm not going to have to repeat all that. But
I mean, you could if you're an asshole.
Word of mouth, guys. Tell people about our show. If they like movies and independent movies to watch, they would listen to us. Words
or penis shows.
Make fun.
Dan, you're doing a great job.
I just had a stroke.
Does anybody smell eggs?
All right, we're going to take Dan to the hospital. But before we do that, Dan, you have the final word.
Oh, I would have a final word. But Jared, you're going to have to give me a hand.
Hi there, this is Nick from the Role Playing Guys podcast. The show you just listened to is part of the Necropodicon Network. Our shows range from tabletop RPGs to movie reviews, audio dramas, and more. Find more great shows on necropodicon.com. There's something for everyone in the Necropodicon Network. Again, that's Necropodicon, like Necronomicon, but take out the nom and put in a pod.